If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I'm Sean Ross Sapp. It's August 20th, 2025. This is The Hump. We got Jimmy Van here. We're going to answer your questions. We're going to talk about the wrestling news of the day, all that good stuff. We are live, of course, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Twitter, X, on Facebook, and now on Kick. Go follow us at kick.com/Fightful. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Sean. How are you, man? I got to be honest. I have never in my life been on Kick. Never.
I hadn't either. Didn't really know much about it. Destiny FOMO tried to tell me to register one like a year or two ago. And there was actually, I think it was like a Mr. Beast stream that had like millions of people watching
heard
the other
about
day.
It.
And I said,
yes.
I said, you know what? We should probably just go ahead and get on there.
I heard about that.
Set one up.
Yeah, the guys that did it with him aren't happy with him. I read an article about that.
Oh, really? I did not read that.
They raised money for, might have been for water distribution in Africa or something. And supposedly he's taken all the credit. And the guys that did the stream with him said, well, what about us? We were part of this too. But I don't know. I don't follow these streamers. You know this about me, I think. But what's the one WWE was invested in? Tout, was it?
Tout, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Which,
yeah.
Speaking of Tout, big proponents of Tout, Renee Paquette, Brian Danielson, they are reuniting for the pre-show for Zero Hour for AEW. So I'm actually going to watch the pre-show for AEW Forbidden Door this week. And Brian Danielson is announced for commentary, all that good stuff. But for tonight, rather. But yeah, lots to get into today. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Tap that bell for notifications. I had an interview with Kip Sabian that went up yesterday. We've also, of course, got Forbidden Door coverage all this week. FightfulSelect.com had news on Chris Jericho today. I'm going to have some on Swerve later on this evening. There's going to be a lot of good stuff over there. But get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. You can do that at humperchats.com or here on YouTube with a super chat. Jimmy, yeah,
you'll
speak about something.
I want to get your opinion on a story. This is not a wrestling-related story, but I know that you're aware of it because I posted about it on Twitter yesterday and you responded to it, so I know you're aware of it. I want to get Sean Ross Sapp's opinion, and I also want to get the live chat's opinion on a story that is getting a ton of attention here in Canada. This is like big national news right now, Sean. So let me paint a picture, and then I want to get Sean's opinion. So in the town of Lindsay, Ontario, Canada, right? An intruder broke into an apartment in the middle of the night, right? I know you saw me post about this the other day. An intruder broke into an apartment. He had a weapon, and the news hasn't said what kind of weapon it was. They just said that he had a weapon, and he was also out on probation for prior offenses. The homeowner was asleep because it was the middle of the night. He was startled awake by the intruder. A fight broke out. The homeowner got a hold of a weapon. And again, the news didn't say, was it the weapon that the intruder brought in or was it something else? But he got a hold of a weapon, beat the shit out of the guy. And now the homeowner has been charged with aggravated assault and assault with a weapon. And as you can imagine, the public reaction here nationally is not positive. Everybody is siding with the homeowner. And so I'm curious, maybe because you're American, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the decision by Canadian authorities to arrest the homeowner after a guy broke into his house in the middle of the night?
Unfortunately, something that I have heard happening a number of times.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember it also being a subject of like some TV shows and stuff like that, where there was a defense attorney who helped defend a man who broke into a home, fell on a knife and stuff, all that kind of thing. It's insane. It's insane. It's absolutely ridiculous. And again, Cody James says turned into Swiss cheese in America. Yeah. It is unreal that you can't protect your own home.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, too.
Kevin McAllister would have been screwed, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I look at it like this, right? If somebody breaks in because they're seeking shelter from an abuser, let's say, that's a little different. If somebody breaks in because, I don't know, maybe there's a hurricane happening and they're seeking shelter, that's a little bit different. When a guy breaks in with a weapon, he's clearly got bad intentions.
Of course.
And so I look at it different. And I don't know if you remember this, that a number of years ago, I experienced a break-in at my house. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Experienced a break-in at my house. I was home at the time. It was at night. My kids were asleep upstairs. The guy broke in through the basement. I immediately ran down to the basement, and he didn't think anybody was home. And as soon as he saw me, it startled him, and he turned around and he took off and he got away. If I had the opportunity to wrap a baseball bat around that guy's skull, I would have done it without thinking twice, because I had kids asleep upstairs.
Jimmy, 2 years ago, my uncle, who has Parkinson's, somebody broke in and beat him with a hammer.
Like, unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. But if I had hit the dude with a baseball bat and hurt him, I could have been arrested living in Canada. Yeah. It's
especially
embarrassing.
If it was one of those
embarrassing
Dip Roberts game used bats that I have back there. look at those beauties.
I see it. No, that's embarrassing, man. And so all I can really say is, you know, the news actually, it almost felt like they were trying to defend the decision, because the news said, well, the intruder has life-threatening injuries. I say, tough shit. Don't break into somebody's home. Don't break into their home. So that's the way I look at it. So this story has made a lot. It's made the news nationally. Everybody is up in arms about the decision.
Our dude, Josh Morgan, like, listen, I don't know what this gentleman looks like. I don't know what he's into. Maybe he's just a big fan of Fightful hats. But I thank him for every week that he comes here and makes this not a money-losing effort at Fightful. So I want to say thank you to that. Speaking of not a money losing effort, Jimmy, I am not going to Toronto. I made the decision to not. We're going to have Joel go.
Okay.
We're going to have Joel go. It'd be, you know, a little more cost effective as well. But I told you, I did plan a trip in September, but it's going to be with my lovely wife. I do not like traveling without my wife anymore.
Yeah. Denver, man. Right?
Denver. So
yeah.
I had mentioned this on the Common Bengals W podcast, but last year when I went to the on sale ticketing event for All In, I went there in part to get interviews, but also because the Bengals were playing Monday Night Football in Dallas. And I had only ever seen the Bengals play at our terrible stadium. And I got there and I realized just how terrible the Bengals stadium was. And I had a ball, Jimmy. Like, I didn't buy my ticket until the moment I walked up to the door and got
probably
it
for a better
deal.
Price, right? Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Got it for a great deal. Because, listen, you sell them one seat by the sideline 10 minutes before the show.
Yep.
You can get that for a good deal. But I was like, you know what I want to do now? I want to go to Bengals games in as many different visiting places. And I'm going to start off like maybe one a year or something, because I gave up my season tickets. And Lexington flies direct to Denver now. So I'm going to go there. I actually have a lot of friends in Denver. But yeah, I'm going to go there September 29th. And the reason I bring this up is because a friend of mine from some of the Wrestle Talk streams, a popular streamer, Grand Pooh Bear, has offered to fill in for me on the Monday night post show. We are going to have him a co-host as well. But that is something that I wanted to announce right now. You know, barring any, you know, unforeseen circumstances, we will have a nice fill-in for that episode of the Monday Night Raw post show. Very excited for that. We're going to try to have some new faces pop up on Fightful here and there. Josh says, is Bengals Stadium worse than Cleveland? Go Browns. So I have only been to the Cleveland Stadium for SummerSlam, and it was a pain in the ass to get around there. A lot of these places, Jimmy, they love building stadiums on the water, which is so weird to me, because they're like,
hey, the optics.
That's possible.
Yeah. The Browns. So I'm not a big football guy. The Browns are the team that got Sanders in like the fourth round or something, right?
Fifth round. Yeah, they got six quarterbacks right now.
Okay, okay. Because I saw that he did great in the preseason game.
And they're going with the 40-year-old as the starter. It's amazing.
Okay.
I am. You're familiar with their other quarterback, right? Deshaun Watson, the pervert.
I've heard the name, but I'm not too familiar.
Oh, he got clapped for like doing a lot of inappropriate things with massage therapists. And I saw that.
Really?
Oh yeah. I saw that Christopher Maloney from Law and Order SVU was at Brown's practice and somebody tweeted, you know, Deshaun Watson was just sweating with him
there. Yeah. I don't follow baseball much either, but the Jays are whipping ass. They're doing great.
Yeah. Reds are doing all right, but by God, we are here to talk about pro wrestling. And I want to thank Josh Morgan. But hey, if you are into football, I am dedicating a little bit more time to that Common Bengals W. Check it out. I posted a video, Jimmy, of me trolling WWE Browns fans, including Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano, and even harassing Tommaso Ciampa for teaming with a Browns fan. JM says the Fox NFL TV graphics are horrible and too plain. They are. They very much are. But let's talk about pro wrestling.
Let me ask you a wrestling related thing that goes back to the story I just told. That's related to wrestling. What do you think when a fan jumps the ring and gets like beat up by the wrestler?
Ass whooping territory.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. Yep,
ass whooping territory. And we could do a whole show on that. The best ones there. But like to me,
FTR. Remember FTR when the guy tackled Brett?
I was on that. I figured out who he was and all that stuff within a few hours. But
yep.
I mean, the one I remember is the fan cam footage that emerged of a fan trying to run in and attack Steve Austin, and Triple H just beats the snot out of him.
Yes, yes. The referee too, I think.
Yeah, that was so good.
Yeah, yeah,
that was so good. Oh my God! And then, of course, there was the ladder match where Eddie Guerrero got pushed off the ladder, landed on his feet, and then bam, the guy.
Yes.
Oh, that was so good. There are some good. So the NWO, when they beat the snot out of a guy that got into the ring, that was a good one.
Yeah, I have to see it.
My God. They kicked him hard.
I'm going to guess nobody went in there on Taker because Taker would have probably flatlined him.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Or Goldberg for that matter. Goldberg would be another one.
Anybody like in the chat, let's try to remind us of some iconic moments. Oh my God, the guy that attacked Seth Rollins.
Yes.
Apparently had gotten catfished. It's insane that stuff like that is, I don't know. It does make me lose faith in humanity. Yeah. That's for sure.
And that was like in the aisle on Raw. Like he was the fact that he could even get there.
Yeah. You know? Oh man, the Batista guy backstage was a fake guy.
Yeah, 100%.
He didn't attack anybody.
No, you could tell by Batista's reaction, obviously.
Yeah, that was fake.
Yeah.
So, headline topic, FightfulSelect.com lead story today. Please subscribe, only $5.99 a month. But Swaron says, "Hey guys, based on the thumbnail, a new question just for fun. Your two Mount Rushmore of wrestling." Oh well. This wasn't a question about that. We will get to it. So, Chris Jericho rumored, you know, WWE rumors that are swirling. That's the only way I can say it. I can't say he's rumored to go back to WWE. Yeah. I can't say, you know, a lot of stuff like that. It's just, there's talk because his deal is winding down. It's up at the end of 2025. Also, it is a situation where he had liked a post that intimated something regarding possibly coming back to WWE. Dave Meltzer put out there, oh, well, this is actually a big story because it's being talked about a lot. I can tell you guys, creative hasn't discussed it at all. They said it was too early to discuss it.
They shouldn't,
There are talent that have talked about it, but higher-ups that I've spoken with, as we reported on FightfulSelect.com, said that he's still got a good relationship with them. He's still been good to them and all that. What do you think, Jimmy? Because he's got 4.5 or 4-ish months left on this deal. He's done all you can do in AEW. What he was doing wasn't working. He sort of ran out of lives, so to speak. with the reinvention. How do you feel about a potential Chris Jericho return to WWE?
So we should note that he added fuel to this fire by posting his Rumble return on TikTok from the 2013 yes. Rumble. So Jericho posted that. My first question for you before we kind of get into it, do you know if AEW has any interest in re-signing him at all?
I haven't heard that. I mean, he has long been considered one of their most important hires. Yeah. Tony Khan likes him. I haven't heard of any like creative plans, but that's another thing. He goes directly to Tony Khan for his creative, from what I understand.
Right.
But I have not heard that. To me, unless he's willing to accept significantly less,
yeah,
I don't see a benefit of him being around on screen for AEW. Yeah. I think he's done it all.
Yeah, and I do think that sometimes he doesn't get enough credit. Like I'll see people, AEW fans on social media, that'll kind of crap on him and say, you know, we don't want to see you and you're boring and you're burying guys or whatever. I've always said this. I think the first year of AEW.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
He was their MVP, and maybe they don't get the TV deal if they don't have him. Because when they started, if you're thinking about television executives, nobody knew who Kenny Omega was. Nobody knew who the Young Bucks were. Nobody knew MJF and Jack Perry and Sammy Guevara. Nobody knew these people. Chris Jericho was the one that they probably knew. And Moxley hadn't started yet, I don't believe, before the first show, or at least the first pay-per-view. So I think he was the MVP their first year. He's going to be 55 in November. And I don't know what his motivation might be at this stage of his career. And so it's kind of hard from Jericho's perspective to answer about a return, but I can understand why he'd want to, because for one thing, he's probably just about done in the ring. I mean, he hasn't been on AEW television in 4 months. He's probably just about done in the ring. Maybe he wants one more run in the place where he was made famous, which was WWE. Maybe he wants one more run. Maybe he wants one more WrestleMania. At the same time, he left WWE because he wasn't satisfied creatively. He was very honest about it. He's got a lot of clout backstage in AEW, more than I imagine he would have in WWE. At the same time, though, WWE can offer things now they couldn't offer 6 years ago. Maybe he wants to work in AAA. Maybe he wants to work in TNA. Maybe he wants to work in NOAH in Japan even. Like, he's got options now he didn't have then. So I don't know what his motivation is. Tell me your opinion from Chris Jericho's perspective. Why you think he would be interested in a return to WWE from his perspective? Like, do you think maybe he wants one more run, one more Mania, all of that?
Of course he wants one more run. He always wants one more run. He's Chris Jericho. But if I were to put myself in his shoes, and I'm not speaking for him, but if I were to put myself in his shoes, I would look at a few different things. Different regime in WWE. He has done everything in AEW and ROH that he can do. There is no longer an interesting thing unless he's got some ace up his sleeve for this to go down. Like for some reinvention in AEW, it's very similar to how it just works with a lot of talent where that audience is kind of done with him for now. Maybe down the line, maybe if he actually wants to retire in AEW, he could come back and do like a few month run. But the timing of his deal coming up, assume it's the beginning of January, him doing, first off, a Rumble appearance in Saudi, they're going to cheer the hell out of him. Doing a program through WrestleMania, two-night WrestleMania, they'll have a spot for him on the card. For sure, they'll have a spot for him on the card. You also have fresh names to work with. It's a fresh approach. The WWE audience is much different. Josh says if Punk Triple H can work things out, so can Jericho Triple H. I don't think they'll have any issues with that. I never thought there was an issue.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever an issue, was there?
Jericho and MVP worked things out. So, yeah. Flame Inc. says, what happened to the 10-year contract he had? It was a 5-year contract, and it is up at the end of this year. Or it was a 3-year contract. He had it extended right after All Out. It was actually, listen, it was a locker room leader move right after the CM Punk Brawl Out thing. He and Jon Moxley were like, all right, yeah, so we're going to sign new 3-year deals, and we're going to lead this talent meeting and say, he may have said that you all haven't done anything in your careers, but is he going to say that about us and about Danielson? So there are things that he has done that have definitely benefited AEW. It's just, it doesn't always last, right? Especially where he views himself. Now, in WWE, I think it is a fresh coat of paint. Like, I think there is less of a, Jericho there. Because he has been usually very good about staying fresh and going away when it's time to go away. This has probably been the longest that it's lasted. A lot of people forget that, like, by the time 05 rolled around and he took his break from wrestling, it was a pretty steep fall off from his peak. But this one, it's like, okay, well, he does a new angle, gets a new stable, and then that gets tired, and then they just go away and do something else. It's time for him to do something different, in my opinion.
From WWE's perspective, to me, it makes a lot of sense depending on what Jericho wants. So I think about what WWE had in mind for Adam Copeland, right? And he's been very honest about it. Adam Copeland wanted a full-time role. WWE didn't. And that's the main reason why he went to AEW. WWE saw him as a part-time Legends guy. I think that they would want the same for Jericho. But Jericho, he's going to be 55, like I said. So maybe Jericho at this point would want that. Think about the opportunity for him. So WWE now, they're building a podcast network, right? They got Logan Paul's, they got Taker's, they got Stephanie McMahon on there, they got Cody Rhodes. Jericho's still doing Talk Is Jericho. So maybe they bring Talk Is Jericho into their podcast network. That's something they could do with him. They've got all their merch, their toy lines. They can bring back all the different variations of Chris Jericho with the toy lines that they have. That's a very obvious thing that they could do. There's a lot of ways that WWE can monetize Chris Jericho. So I guess what it comes down to is Chris Jericho open to a part-time legend mentor type of thing? Because I think that's all they would probably want him for.
Also, I think Jericho is a level of talent, whether it be WWE or AEW, that deserves a farewell run as well.
Yes.
So I've seen a lot of this, like, you know, he loves to accomplish things he hasn't accomplished. There's a lot he hasn't accomplished in TNA as well.
Right, exactly.
Which he could sort of borrow there. You also
and
know
his Mexico like, run, sorry to cut you off, his Mexico exactly. run, I think it was mostly CMLL, right?
So I mean, never really did thing. AAA. Like, Mexico would love Jericho.
Sure.
Mexico would love Jericho.
Noah.
There are a lot of options for a Chris Jericho, especially if tied to WWE. I think there's a lot of gas left in the tank. There is not in AEW. I just don't see what's left in AEW for him.
Right.
Would Jericho use Judas in WWE or break the walls? Well, he'd be able to use whichever he wanted, but I honestly think that he would probably try to use something completely different because that's what he likes to do. That's just what he loves to do. Wouldn't AEW be better served instead of signing Jericho and some of these older stars to sign young talent to develop? You have ROH where they can work. I don't think they need to sign a lot of new talent. I think they have plenty of talent.
I agree.
Plenty of it. I do love the Ace Austin signing. FightfulSelect.com had some news on that. Like 5 or 6 years ago when Ace Austin showed up on TNA TV, I was like, that is a TV star. He looks great. He's got charisma. He can work. Looks like $1 million. So I love that signing. They are being very, very selective. But Jimmy, the wrestling landscape I'm looking at, and I'm like, they do need some more options out there. MLW runs monthly now. New Japan does not have a U.S. wing anymore. TNA is under the umbrella of WWE. CMLL is tied in with AEW. New Japan is not spending a ton of money, and they are tied in with AEW. WWE has a bunch of stuff under their umbrella. Like, man, I think there does need to be another option there.
And is there enough talent for that? Where's Freddie Prinze at? NWA.
How can we even expect something like that to continue at this stage, right? Like, NWA isn't paying full time either.
That's kind of part of the problem.
We got K775 says, if Jericho was to become available, do you think WWE would be interested in him and Punk in the same locker room again? Could be interesting.
Was there ever a problem?
Yeah. Jericho had, during the argument or one of the CM Punk situations, had allegedly yelled that Punk was a cancer and all that. But if there's been no issues with Punk.
Yeah.
There's been no issues at all.
And again, when I saw that Unreal clip where there's Punk talking over the finish and Rollins is right there and Drew McIntyre standing right next to him, I think that professionality goes a long way.
I could absolutely see Jericho as El Grande Americano.
So I didn't. Does Ludwig Kaiser actually speak Spanish?
Yeah, he speaks a lot of languages.
Because
funny.
I saw the interview he did with the interviewer from AAA, and he did amazing. Have you seen that?
He did. I did see it.
Amazing.
The rapid fire questions.
I was impressed. Yeah, I was impressed.
It was very good. While we're on the subject, Crispy Chris says, think Danhausen goes to WWE. I'm going to answer this on the other side of our ad break. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I want to shout out NordVPN.com/Fightful. This weekend, they're going to save us a bunch of money on this AEW pay-per-view. We change our virtual location. We pay the price they're paying overseas. For the last few months of this UFC deal, going to save us a bunch of money. Change your virtual location. Buy the pay-per-views for the price you get overseas. TNA, same thing. But if you're a WWE fan, this is going to benefit you big time. Go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you're a little hesitant, it's okay. 24/7 tech support, 30-day money-back guarantee. You change your virtual location, you log into your Netflix account, you got access to Raw, NXT, SmackDown, and PLEs. And that will remain the case even after they go to ESPN here in the States. So save yourself a bunch of money. And you might say, man, I don't know. I can't add another big subscription. It's like a couple bucks a month on average, my friends. And that's for the basic tier where you do that. There are other tiers that have password managers and file encryption tools and all that stuff that will help you guys out. Threat Protection Pro, all that good stuff. And it works on all your devices, all your operating systems. So right now, my modem, this phone, this desktop, the smart TV, and the studio PC over there, and actually the Surface Pro that's on the desk, all have NordVPN.com/Fightful. If we have Nord users in the chat, let us know. We want to know how much you love it. But head over there, and if you're not sold on it right now, go check out some of the great reviews from Huffington Post, from Wired, from BuzzFeed, all that good stuff. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Also, if you are traveling to Clash in Paris, if you are traveling to Toronto for All In, if you're traveling to London, to any of these places, you want to be able to watch the same sports that you watch at home, you can change your virtual location and do so. Pile Driver Finisher is a big Nord user. Look at that. Pat, love NordVPN, would recommend. Use NordVPN every week for SmackDown. I love it. Love it. Look at this. A person named Brutalitities. My God. So we're asked if we think Danhausen will go to WWE. I think that AEW probably suspected that he would, because I can't think of another reason why they would have extended his contract due to injury time, Jimmy. I reported this on FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business. This week, and I was baffled to hear this. A guy that they have used once in I don't know how long, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. They had him pop up at Final Battle. From what I understood, he reached out to them and said, hey, y'all bringing me in? And they're like, no, we're good. Everybody was happy to see him. This is, I saw people make up fantasy situations that didn't exist, said not happy, malcontent. He was burying the company. Listen, was he siding with his friend CM Punk? Yes, but that was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. If you can get over people fighting each other backstage and bring them back, you can bring back a guy that is just publicly friends with CM Punk. Mm-hmm, and if not, and he wants to go, just let him go. But especially, Jimmy, when his contract is going to be up. Because I can't believe that by early next year, they're going to have any creative plans for this man. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? We've talked about Danhausen before on this podcast, and you know, I have a lot of respect for him and the way he reinvented himself, and he was going to give up on wrestling. He's in his 30s, reinvented himself, and he became a merch machine. You know what I mean? Even before AEW, he was doing tons of stuff on the independents and working with guys like Matt Cardona and releasing a bunch of stuff. I look at Danhausen just like I did Penta. You and I talked about Penta before he went to WWE, and we looked at Penta and said, this guy's going to be a merch machine in WWE. And he was. Danhausen, same. I, you know what? I'm not. I watched some of Triple Mania on the weekend. I'm not, as a wrestling fan, a big lucha guy. As a wrestling fan, and Triple A is not really for me as a wrestling fan. But Danhausen would fit there like a glove. Like when you see Mr. Iguana and Crazy Clown or whatever, all these guys they have, Danhausen would fit in like a glove. I could see him in NXT. He's not going to do anything major on the main roster. But there's definitely a place for him, and they would definitely monetize him significantly better than AEW ever did. And so I think there is a place for him. And I imagine that's where he ends up when the opportunity arises.
Danhausen got hurt in spring of 2023. And by his own admission, like, he didn't want to stay on TV while injured because that's how he came into the company. They brought him back for a match on Rampage, a dark match, and then a battle royal. And since then, he hadn't been on TV for a full year until he popped up at Final Battle. And the ROH spot would have been fun. Do skits with him, do something. Do AEW shop advertisements, for the love of God.
Right.
Do something.
Yeah.
It's been 2.5 years since they've done really anything with this man. Let him go. And I saw people say, well, this is like the Phoenix situation. No, it is not like the Phoenix situation. Penta and Phoenix were talking with WWE to a level of which I was baffled that I could report on. Mm-hmm. There were people close to them that they were openly speaking with saying, yeah, sure, we got months left on these AEW deals. And yeah, they got plans to put titles on us, but WWE's talking to us. I could not believe that I was covering a situation like that in 2024. Mm-hmm. Danhausen, to the best of my knowledge, has never buried AEW, has never went and talked to WWE. If WWE reached out to him, I mean, anything's possible, but... Mm-hmm. I'm just like, the guy said, hey, you probably shouldn't pick up my, I probably shouldn't extend this due to injury time. Let's just go our separate ways. All right. They still have his merch at merch stands sometimes, Jimmy, because it moves.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. It
does. What merch do they have for him? I'm curious. Like, what do they actually have for him?
Mask, I think it was.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. It was last year's. So it's, gosh, almost a year ago, but it was the Grand Slam. But I was so disappointed to hear this. So disappointed. And somebody said he buried AEW constantly. How? Tell me how. Not the, oh, well, okay. Tell me how. Tell me what he said. Tell me specifically what he said, because I don't remember that. And even if he did, why should he not?
Yeah. I mean, I saw someone in the chat say Danhausen is not good in the ring or something like that. I look at a Mr. Iguana. And Mr. Iguana, don't get me wrong, he can go.
He's fine,
But he's on the main roster not because they want 20-minute matches. He's on the main roster because of his look and because of the gimmick and because they're going to produce action figures and they're probably going to reproduce the puppet. That's why he's there.
Happened?
And Danhausen is going to be the same.
Danhausen had a fun match with Micro Man. Last year.
And what did they do with Omos, Sean? What have we been talking about? This shit just frustrates me. They actually finally did it with Omos. But yeah.
Okay, Turkey Glue says, actively retweeted things saying Tony was off. Show me! I've never seen that. I've never seen that. liking tweets. Come on. We're getting into liked tweets. Buddy, you guys are going to hate to see some of the tweets that your favorite wrestlers in WWE, AEW like of mine. You are going to really hate to see that. So, I got a Twitter, buddy. I got Twitter. I got Blue Sky. I got all that stuff. I got all that. We got a million ways to contact me. Liking tweets. That's where we are in this world. Also, people saying, hey, I can't wrestle. Whatever happened to having supporting characters?
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. Supporting players are important.
I don't imagine that Danhausen's price tag is going to be so significant in terms of payroll that they're not going to make it back on merch. Yeah. Like the guy looks like an action figure come to life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to make it back on merch. That's just how it is.
Are we of the impression that Too Cool people like back in the day were like, okay, well, they're not great in-ring wrestlers. They were okay. They were solid. And they were supporting characters. They were over. Nobody looked at a lot of the guys on the WWE roster, WWF roster that got over and said,
Road Dogg was not a great wrestler.
No.
He's one of the greatest tag team wrestlers ever. And he was not a great wrestler. Billy Gunn was the workhorse of that tag team. Didn't matter.
Randy, so this was last year. This is before the likes went private, I'm sure, is what people are talking about. But we're talking about people liking tweets. If that is a next level of insecurity in professional wrestling that I don't want in my pro wrestling. Getting upset over somebody liking tweets. What part of the game is this? Swaron says, hey guys, a new one just for fun. What is your Mount Rushmores of wrestling belt design? Oh, okay. We need two of them. One has to be just WWE, then other that isn't WWE, any promotion of any era.
I can name two right away.
Go ahead.
So does the World Heavyweight title, Ric Flair's NWA World Heavyweight title, does that count when he says one WWE?
That's the thing. Like that one could work in both, but I would make that non-WWE because it was most famous outside of WWE.
Well, then that and the Winged Eagle would be my top two then.
Well, I mean, he asked for two different Mount Rushmores, one in WWE and one outside. So in WWE, I would say Winged Eagle, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Intercontinental, the original Intercontinental. Yep. Has got to be.
Not the original, Randy Savage's Intercontinental.
Yeah, that one, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Hear me out. The Million Dollar Belt.
Yeah, you've always liked that one.
I've always liked that one. I feel like that one was very, very important for like customizing championships and having your own type of thing could do.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And the fourth one.
See, I'm an old school guy. So I like the old tag team belts, like the British Bulldogs.
I do too. The 90s.
Yeah.
I like those too.
Late 80s.
I like those too.
I like those. And in terms of outside, you know, what belt I've always liked to the point that I modeled the Fightful belt after it was the IWGP title.
That's the one, that was going to be the one for me.
Plate levels, right? They had the different plate levels.
Yep.
So I used that one to make the Fightful belt. I've always loved, as a matter of fact, I would like to buy a replica of the IWGP title. I've always loved it.
Also, I got to go Big Gold. That one's got to be there. One of my favorites
I don't mind the AWA or the AEW title either.
Oh, it's beautiful. Title.
It's not
beautiful.
Bad either, yeah.
I'd probably put that one up there as number three. Number four, I think I would go with the NWA United States title. I love that. I know a lot of people like the Big Gold. I don't like the NWA World title. I think
it's just because of the classic. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
But I also understand that they keep it around because of what it is. But I love the NWA United States Championship as well. That's a great conversation. Jimmy, once upon a time, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but when we did the daily shows, right? One of the shows that I was going to have was every Friday there'd be a different set of hosts, and once a month we would have wrestling video game podcast, then it'd be wrestling action figure podcast, then a wrestling theme music podcast, then wrestling title belt podcast. And I would get like belts by Dan or somebody that was familiar with music or figures and all that stuff. And then actually Cardona and Myers started their figure podcast. And I was like, well, it's not going to be better than that. So right. I don't want to do anything that I don't think is going to be better than all that. But
Cardona knows his shit. There's no question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's a phenomenal podcast. I encourage anybody that's into figures to check that out. Mr. Rightway, who sent us a pitch recently. We've got our eyes on it, by the way. Watching you guys from Long John Silver's. Jimmy, Long John Silver's. Do you ever have Long John Silver's?
Never in my life.
Really?
I don't think they have it in Canada. I don't think.
So they had it in my old town, but they don't have it here in Lexington. Uh-huh. Of all the things. Some of the best fast food chicken you will ever get. Because really? They bread it. Oh, the breading is like next level. To the point to where every time you order something like that, they just put a bunch of the crispy parts of that breading in the box as well. That's like part of the attraction.
You know, I never had Taco Bell until I was in like my mid-30s. And I've never had it
Lucky
since.
Lucky you.
Yep, never had it since. One time.
It's garbage. So one time, Jimmy, I just hate Taco Bell. It's not very good, low quality. But last year they had an item on the menu I was interested in. It was a tostada on a giant Cheez-It. So I was like, I'll try that. And apparently I ordered it after the limited edition element of it. I ordered it on DoorDash and they did not give me a refund. They just sent me an empty bag with a note that says, we don't have Cheez-Its no more.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
No, I took a picture of it. I'll post it sometime.
Wow. You know, there was a guy, one of these social media influencers who ordered from McDonald's. And you know, if you order a sandwich, it gives you the option of removing stuff. So just to see what would happen, he ordered like a Big Mac or something and he removed everything from the Big Mac, bun, meat, everything to see what would happen. And he got charged for an empty bag. Uber Eats. So
did I tell you about my movie experience? Was it last week or the week before?
You did. Yes, you did tell me about it. Yeah. Missed the ending. Yeah.
Fortunately, we do have some powerful viewers that were able to allow me to see the ending, of which I greatly appreciate it.
Good, good.
D'Lo, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
D'Lo says, sup, everyone. Hopefully you're doing good. Want to ask, what is your go-to dessert? Okay. Jimmy, I'm interested to hear this.
So I eat pretty clean these days, and so I don't eat a lot of shit anymore. But if I could eat anything, it would probably be cookie dough ice cream.
Probably. Okay. I am lactose intolerant. I can't eat that anymore.
Okay.
But I love a good cheesecake, man.
Cheesecake's good too. My wife makes a good one, Sean.
Oh, really?
Next time you're around, I will have her make one for you.
Okay. Nice. Yep. Mike says, do you think the MJF Hangman feud continues to all in?
Continues until.
I think you mean all out. I hope you mean all out. Yeah. No, it won't continue till all in. Okay. If not, who do you think they each wrestle in Toronto? Bobby Lashley in a triple threat, maybe. I actually like that idea of Bobby Lashley losing the tag team titles, which I think will also be a triple threat. I think Brodito and FTR will probably, unless the spoilers are out, and that's not the case yet. But I think that Bobby Lashley could emerge as somebody who could end up challenging for the world title. But yeah, I think that MJF and Hangman probably does continue. We got John Hope saying Dynamite is being filmed right now. They are chanting sausage rolls, apparently. Love the UK crowds, and Forbidden Door should be awesome. Do you think they should spend more time overseas, Jimmy?
Selling the kind of tickets they're selling? Why not? I know that what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, maybe they can like stream it live at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's definitely more convenient, right?
Oh, buddy, let me tell you. There's a NFL game, 1 p.m. Saturday preseason that I'm watching. Forbidden Door, early afternoon, Raw, 3 p.m.
That's right.
Oh, my God, I am so happy. And I'm not like I got to go to bed early. My ass up till 3 a.m. I just want to be able to watch wrestling with the sun still out. That's what I'm here for. Ryan says, Sean, do you think the Scarlett and Cross ever return to WWE, or is that ship sailed? I mean, they're taking their bookings right now. They've got a high ask, which they should. This isn't like somebody leaving WWE, waiting 90 days, cooling off. They're fresh off of SummerSlam at this point. They're getting their bookings. They're doing their signings. Let me tell you, just the amount that they would have made off the signings and bookings announced is probably pretty good right now, plus his book. I think eventually we do see an appearance, if even just a Royal Rumble appearance. I don't think we've seen the last of them there, but I think for now, unless there are huge We Want Cross chants that I don't expect to happen. Yeah.
I feel like WWE wants them to go the way of Cody or Drew McIntyre and kind of use the independence, maybe rediscover something, get to a certain level, go back. Like, I feel like that's the play. So we'll see what happens.
We've got Solid World saying Jericho is MAGA, WWE is MAGA, enough said. Yeah, fair point. Jimmy, do you have an LJN Vince? I saw one for sale. It's probably a custom, right?
No, they made a Vince McMahon in the LJN line.
Did they?
I had the entire set. I can look at it from here. And yes, I do have the Vince McMahon in the package. They spelled his name, Sean, MCMANN on the sticker. I do have it.
Interesting. I do see this. It was the announcer, the announcer figure. Have you tried Indian food? Since there are many Indians in Canada, I assume Jimmy might have tried some.
Yeah, well, I'm also married to a Trinidadian, and her parents are from Trinidad. They're Indian Trinidadian. So I'm not a spicy food guy, but they'll make curry chicken for me, like with not a lot of spice. I eat that. They make curry goat for themselves. I'm not a fan. And butter chicken. You've probably had butter chicken, right, Sean?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Butter chicken is especially if you're a white guy like me that doesn't like spice, butter chicken's good to go.
Yeah. We had a sponsor, OM Ghee, if you remember back in the day.
Yes.
And the gentleman who ran that was an Indian man, and he sent me he had some recipes posted, and I tried some of those. So I haven't had any probably appropriately prepared, but I've certainly tried some myself. Parker Hines says, two questions. One, is Io Sky the best wrestler WWE has? I think so. I think she has been the best in-ring wrestler that WWE
has.
She's
been great.
And her getting over from a charisma standpoint with the pose and all that, it's been amazing, Jimmy.
Yep, and she never misses. Like, everything she does is good in the ring, and it doesn't matter who she's in there with either. She's had a great run. And it's interesting because Asuka was the star of that group when they were put together. Asuka was the star. And Asuka's still a star. But Io Sky has really elevated herself, and she's done great.
What do you think they should do with the women's title? As we haven't even talked about Naomi yet. What a few months. Money in the Bank, winning the world title, played out by her father, announcing her pregnancy. Congrats to them. To me, it makes sense to do Io versus Stephanie, because Io was supposed to get a title shot. Stephanie earned a title shot. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, they already alluded about Stephanie at Clash of Paris. They already alluded to it on television, meaning that she's still getting a title shot. So, yeah it makes sense to do that. Like, because it's WWE, I could see them doing like maybe a four-person qualifier, and then the winner faces Stephanie. I could see them doing that because that's WWE. So maybe they do that. Io wins it, and then it's Io and Stephanie at Clash of Paris. I'm sure we'll find out next Monday.
And Parker also says, is Kyle Fletcher's TNT title run the best we've seen in a while, even though it's been relatively short? I wouldn't say necessarily his run, but what I would say is specifically the program around him pursuing and then winning the TNT title, because everybody knew that he was probably going to win it at All In. They did the swerve because of Adam Cole getting hurt, and Dustin Rhodes won it. And I think that was a great idea, because now Dustin Rhodes is off TV. Mm-hmm. But to get him off TV, they had him win the title in Texas, cool moment, and then do a short feud with Kyle Fletcher that resulted in a fantastic match. And Kyle Fletcher now is very clearly like a guy for them. And you boys at Fightful Select, Jimmy, reported last week that he signed a multi-year big money deal.
I think if there's one person on the AEW roster, if you said to me, pick one person on the AEW roster that you would want WWE to take if they could. I think Kyle Fletcher would be my pick. And I know people are thinking MJF or maybe Tony Storm, whatever. Kyle Fletcher, I see so much potential in him. Like, he looks like a main eventer. And he looks like somebody that WWE would handle appropriately. So he'd be the guy. But obviously, AEW knows it too. So he's not going anywhere.
Thoughts on WWE's PLE September 20th versus All Out on ESPN. Petty, but not unexpected. Just something I go, of course they did type of thing. Like, that's
apparently,
that's
apparently WrestlePalooza, apparently, is the rumor.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just, I'm just not surprised. Do you think we see Dakota Kai in AEW? I think we'll see her like in Japan and outside of the company first. And I think she'll probably really establish herself in that capacity. That's what I am expecting. Why hasn't AEW done a full European tour? I think that should be next for them. I think that should absolutely be something that they go and do next. I think the first year they went there, Jimmy, they wanted All In to be the only chance that you got over there mm-hmm. to see it so they could set that record. Last time they did Wales, and I'm not saying that's why attendance was lower, but now they're doing an arena show, and then they're doing this show, and they're combined going to be over, like, what, 23, 24,000? That's mm-hmm. pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were them, I would do a series of tapings there. What I would probably do is do a thing where it is Wednesday, Thursday, you tape Dynamite and Collision, you do a pay-per-view on the weekend, then you probably do like maybe a Monday or Tuesday taping again for the following week's Collision, and you don't have to air them live necessarily. But it's also, it's very, very expensive to keep everybody over there because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. What countries do you know of that AEW is really hot in outside of, say, England, UK? Like, well, I know they ran Australia and they did okay, but they didn't do maybe what they expected.
They could do England, Scotland, Wales, obviously, like those that they have been to, familiar territories. And then if I were them, I would do like another one, like just somewhere else where you look at the numbers and you're like, we got a good foothold, or we have talent that could be over there and do some good promotion. But yeah. Let's see here. Man, we still got a bunch of super chats. Speaking of AEW merch flops, do you hear of any reason from AEW why they didn't sell the Monet puppets? I don't know how they can see the money they make, or can't see the money they make from that. Jimmy, I thought your tweet was perfect. You said it is peak AEW that they didn't produce them, and peak WWE that they are selling puppets for $100.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you know what? A lot of people, I'm not going to say they shit on me, but a lot of people said that the puppet costs $100 or it's worth $100. We're talking about the Demonito Finn Balor puppet. They're charging $99.99 in the WWE shop. I'm not a puppet buyer. I know that you told me that you're working on something, whatever, and that's how much they cost. I don't know. To me, it's a lot. To me, $100 for a puppet's a lot. Maybe I'm in the minority.
Wow. You're always about to spend about $500 for a couple.
I mean, custom, each. You know what? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, remember your rubber mask? I paid a shit ton for that. Like, when you're doing a one-off custom. But
and then I asked to use it for a skit recently. You're like, no, my kid kicks it around.
Yeah, because it's very fragile, and if it got torn, he would lose his shit. So, what? What am I missing?
Let's get this straight.
Yeah, he doesn't kick it around.
You were telling the person of whom the rubber head is literally designed after.
Inspired by.
Designed after, not inspired by. It's fucking me. No, I can't grab your head out of my kid's room for you to use for a Fightful skit.
Correct.
Because my child's son will lose his shit if you ruin it after he's been booting it around like he's fucking Pat McAfee.
No, that's not true. He wasn't booting it around. He was putting it on, and he was like, you know, I don't know, maybe pretending to be Sean Ross Sapp. I don't know, but he was actually wearing it And he's ADHD, Sean. So if you brought that thing back home.
So am I!
I know. That's exactly my point. That's my point.
What are you talking about? It's me!
Okay, next week. It's in a box somewhere now since we moved. I'm going to get it and bring it on the podcast next week.
It's fucking me, Jimmy! It's my face! What are you talking about?
The bottom of it where you put it on is starting to crack because it's very fragile. He would have lost his shit if that.
Do you want to give him my social security number too?
What's he going to do with that?
Steal my identity. I don't know. What's he doing running around? Duty. What's up, you guys? What's your kid doing?
I mean, he's 8 now, so I don't know what he was doing with it, but, you know, that's what happened. That was funny.
Well, certainly the puppet situation was a flop, but if you don't want something to flop, use Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Erect yourselves a perfect situation, a main event performance with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. What? Take control of your own head.
I got to fight it. You know what I do have? I still have the paper ones. Remember the paper ones? I still have some of those.
Paper can mean a lot of things, but it's about that real life experience and performance. And Blue Chew gives you that performance. You might say, Sean, that last segment was not very discreet. But you know what? Blue Chew is. It's prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. You don't have to worry about a pharmacy or a doctor's office. You go online, you speak with our online physician. And if approved, ship straight to your door. And Blue Chew and the code Fightful gives you your first shipment free. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. It's not always about having a problem. It's about having that confidence, that main event level performance. And Blue Chew gets you there. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Listen, we've been slanging this stuff at you guys for like 8 years now, our longest running sponsor. So listen, I'm not going to ask people in the chat like we do with the other sponsors. Like, hey, let us know about it. But just so you guys know, I know some of you are doing it because Blue Chew sticks around. Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Help us help you get your penis.
Hold on a second here. It's kind of hard to see. But
yeah it's even still like that. You've had that so long, Jimmy. Jimmy, I cut my hair 5.5 years ago.
It's been that long. Yeah. I mean, I think I got it in like 17, something like that.
There's a picture of Jordan Grace like holding it.
Yes. I think we got the video for that still somewhere. Somewhere. Allison
was in an interview. So
yeah, I remember. Yeah. Do you remember?
Got plenty more.
Do you remember that where that venue was? So this is Midtown Toronto where my old office used to be. Walter was on that show.
Oh, I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I remember.
They had a hell of a lineup for that venue.
Like there was like Ethan Page. There was Dark Order, Jody Threat, who I saw at that show. And I was like, who in the hell is that? Not surprised she signed to TNA years later. But
too bad we didn't get Gunther at the office. That would have been a great thing to clip now.
What? One called Flanders says, hi, diddly ho, neighborinos. Fly out tomorrow for a long weekend in London. Then 9 days in France. Oh, good for you, man. It says Forbidden Door, Clash in Paris, laying on the beach is nice. Man, that sounds like a fun trip for you. Like, heck yeah, man. Can't wait to be a part of those crowds. Keep being awesome, gentlemen. Man, I can't wait to hear back from you and see how that is. Being able to go to Forbidden Door and Clash in Paris, that is a good time. That is a fantastic time. Mr. Straightfire says, have you ever stopped following wrestling or WWE? If so, what was it and what made you come back? Stopped around 04 to 08, but when I saw the pop Cena got in his Rumble return, had to watch and see what this guy was about. Never missed a show since. Jimmy, have you?
Yes. Early 90s. I mean, I still kept tabs on things, but I didn't watch it weekly, early 90s. And I'll tell you what made me interested again. I was in college. This was when Razor Ramon had started in WWE. So it would have been, 95 or 96, somewhere in there. And we had it on in a college dorm because one of my roommates was a big wrestling fan and he's watching it and Razor Ramon's coming out. And he says to me, he goes, you know who that is? And I go, I think he was the Diamond Stud in WCW. He goes, that's Scott Hall. I go, what? I had no freaking idea. And for some reason I was interested in that. I really liked Razor Ramon, and that kind of reinvigorated my interest in wrestling. And then the Attitude Era came along after that. But Razor Ramon was the first guy that made me interested again.
I never did have a period, but almost having a period led me to be, that didn't sound
I was
right.
I was like, do I say anything? Do I just let it go?
Oh God. but almost having a break from watching wrestling is what led me here. The first column I ever pitched to Bill Apter was, I had fallen out of love with pro wrestling around 2008, 2009. I was falling more in love with MMA. I was training MMA full time at that point, and it was a grand era of superstars in MMA. And I started writing the article or the column January 4th, 2010. Mm-hmm. And I was going to give myself through WrestleMania to decide if I still wanted to keep being a wrestling fan. And I think in my heart of hearts, I kind of knew I was going to. But that was, you know, TNA starting a new era on Monday nights and all that stuff. Brett came back and did a little angle. And looking back, like, I can't believe that I said yes after that. I've always loved wrestling. And if I can survive loving wrestling through that period, I think I can survive almost anything. Also, I mean, listen, the Benoit thing really disenfranchised me. I just, it was hard to love it after that. It was right. Very, very hard.
Did you watch Hamzat and Duplessis?
I did.
Yeah, I saw that too. It was the first one I'd seen in a while. Hamzat's going to retire undefeated. That guy's a monster.
Probably.
He looks like a psychopath when he gets in there with the big eyes. You know what I mean?
He's fantastic.
He's going to be hard to beat.
Volcano Eruption said, SRS, you mentioned on Twitter you doubted Dave's analysis. The Dynamite ratings beat the Raw ratings. How did you come to that conclusion? Well, common sense, first off. But I don't think it was his analysis. It's him implying that you would need to question that based on Raw's viewership. And I have a lot of doubts regarding the numbers associated with Raw's viewership. And some of the viewing habits there.
Max viewership too.
I mean, yeah, any of it that we don't have data for.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you guys, I got doubts about the Nielsen ratings and always have. I've never been a ratings guy. If they're really, really good, I usually am like, okay, that's good to hear. I'm not a Nielsen ratings guy either. I don't think that is an appropriate gauge for viewership. I think that probably advertisers and companies probably have a handle on something better, and they have metrics that better measure this stuff. I think that that's an antiquated format, and now it's not an antiquated format. I think that the Netflix Max speculatory viewership is just, it's what it is. It's speculation.
There are some social media accounts, and I think they just do it for engagement, but there are some social media accounts that assume 500,000 max viewers for Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And so let's say Dynamite does 700,000 on TBS. They'll post 1.2 million viewers. And it's just absolute malarkey. It's complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But they do it, I think, because of engagement. But like I've said before, if AEW was doing over 1 million viewers a week, there would be a press release. There would be a Twitter post. There'd be something. So they're not. But yeah, that's all I got to say about it.
Terry Allen Jr. says, WWE wrestlers allowed listening to their themes and then using them. TK could communicate to Deaf Rebel, allowing input from wrestlers. Crowds love connection. Terry, when I've asked WWE wrestlers, they say that they have no input as it relates to Deaf Rebel, which is probably why somebody like Becky Lynch was like, I think I'll go get my own. And it ended up being really, really good. You just know Natty's sitting over there with her Jim Johnson theme, like, hope they don't notice.
What did you think of Becky's switch? Because I feel like her other music, you like the new music? I feel like her other music got a better crowd reaction.
Sure. But I mean, I don't think she cares about a crowd reaction right now. She's a heel.
I see.
And it's been 10 years. I think it's time for a change. And I thought that, first off, the Wonder Years is a great band. It's an incredible song. And it's a nice throwback. I felt I really like it. I was a big fan of her changing that. And again, you boys broke the story at FightfulSelect.com. Who are some people you see challenging Hangman? Well, I think Hangman stays near the top of the card because right now Ospreay banged up, Omega banged up, Swerve. We'll have an update on him on FightfulSelect.com today. But I think they got to run through the gamut of heels right now. So I think that this needs to be a period of which they develop a lot of new high up talent. I could see Lashley being one of those people, Jimmy.
That'd be interesting. I'd like to see Lashley in that spot. And again, I really think highly of Kyle Fletcher. I understand that he's a champion in his own right, but I think highly of Kyle Fletcher. So he's another one that I like to see up there. Lashley would be interesting. Like, I almost feel like he's been not utilized as well as he could have been as a tag team guy. So I think that'd be interesting seeing him go for the world title.
Dave Koss saying, hey guys, Cody's saying it would be tough to write a book because he can't speak on AEW. Terms of NDAs, do they ever expire? If someone else speaks on it, can the other party then do so? Help me out. Well, a lot of it's based on the nature of the NDA, Jimmy, and what violates such an NDA. I don't know what all Cody's would include if he did have one. They are pretty common in departures from companies like that, especially if AEW feels that they are doing something to let him out of a situation. I mean, listen, I know what led to his departure. I can't speak about it because I heard about it off the record, but it literally none of it is anything that I have ever seen somebody speculate on. I'll say that.
Do you think that, let's say that the NDA expired tomorrow, let's say, do you think that so long as he's employed by WWE, WWE would be cool with him writing a tell-all like that? Where he tells, yeah, they'd be okay with it? Okay.
Especially if it reflected poorly on AEW.
Yeah, okay, I understand that.
I don't think he would have that motivation. I think that Cody has tried to stay very diplomatic about that stuff, and obviously there are some things that don't sit well with him. But, I mean, that dude worked really, really hard to help launch that company.
Sure.
And there are people that minimize his impact on that company because of the booking towards, you know, the middle and end of it. But
I mean, without Cody, there is no AEW.
Exactly. There isn't. Yeah, I agree.
And you can say the same for the Bucks, you know what? Because it was Cody and the Bucks that said, okay, we'll do 10,000 in Chicago. You know?
So on the FightfulSelect.com Q&A, somebody asked me when AEW should do a Hall of Fame and who should be inducted in it. And I said, well, I think it should be every year an AEW or ROH legend, because they own that as well, and then a legacy inductee, which is someone who had passed and maybe has contributed to the company. So John Huber, Jay Briscoe, even Owen Hart, because of the Owen Hart tournament. But the initial class should be four people. It should be Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, and Cody Rhodes. That is the most appropriate opening class, or at least try to. At least
I was going to say, yeah. Do you think Tony would?
Yeah, I do.
You would? Okay, interesting.
I do. Do you know of any talent upset over Cross getting on the Slam card when he wasn't locked down to a deal? Some top stars and champs weren't booked. Nobody communicated that to me. I mean, people like Cross there. Like, he's always been really, really good to people from what I understood. There were a lot of people that I've still been talking to that say they hope that he and Scarlett come back. I heard of no issues regarding that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bazilla has teased herself for Forbidden Door. How long do we get that match against Megan Bain in AEW? Well, I mean, to me, that should be a Forbidden Door match of itself. They did it. I mean, they had it a few months ago at GCW. But I think that more than 12, give them 15, just sirloin beef sons of misses is what we call it here.
Just wouldn't it be daughters of misses?
No.
No? Sons of misses?
Hell no.
Sons of misses.
Hell no. But I think that would be a great introduction for her to the AEW audience as well. Because I think a lot of the people that AEW sign from now on are going to be high upside. Like, if they're coming from WWE, they're going to have to be like real, real, real high upside. But if not, I think they're going to take some more flyers. Kind of a random question. Have you heard if NXT WWE has plans for Zarya? She came in with huge fanfare. Now she's Sol Ruka's sidekick. Well, I wouldn't say huge fanfare, but she was definitely brought in with a group of talent that a lot of people looked at and said, wow, NXT is on fire with some of their recruiting. But that being said, she was brought in, and probably of all those that got brought in, she had the smallest track record, so they want to establish one there. And I think that's cool. She's doing, she had done the, like the strange bedfellows, like the odd couple team and all that. And very clearly she is somebody that they like, but I haven't heard of anything like significant by the way of plans for her or anything. Have you heard anything on a Bianca return? Her absence on SmackDown shows how valuable she is, but the injury did give her a much needed break. Her absence has certainly been felt on SmackDown, Jimmy, because that show has been bad.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's true.
When
FightfulSelect.com. Not for lack of talent either. Not for lack of talent.
Yeah. When FightfulSelect.com broke the news of her breaking fingers, I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know it was going to be like, oh, well, four months later. But I would hope that she gets back in the fold soon, because that division needs her. There had been, I had heard some like preliminary creative discussions, but I don't know necessarily like if there's a time frame on that. Because, for example, they had discussed Asuka and her possible creative in January, and she wasn't back until like April or May.
I mean, SmackDown last week, the main event promoted thing was a Drew McIntyre promo.
Mm-hmm.
That was the advertised.
He's okay sometimes. He's good, but the show just hasn't been good.
No, it hasn't. And like, they got great tag teams, but they're all directionless. It's like, okay, this week it'll be this one against this one, and then it'll be this one against this one. And oh yeah, it's directionless, man.
Dave Koss says, after seeing New Japan get a lot of criticism, I was curious. What do you think Tony thinks about the New Japan partnership and how to move forward into 2026? Well, he's hands off with the booking of the G1. Obviously, I'm sure he was happy that Takeshita won the G1. And if I were New Japan, I would probably look at him and say, well, he's our guy as well, because he's under contract. But listen, I don't think it's ever been a secret. He's not like a big Yano fan in the ring. He's not like a big, they made that clear this week at FightfulSelect.com reported. He's not a big evil fan either. The creative for New Japan has not been great of late. And honestly, I think a lot of that has to do with just them not being able to spend the money. And I don't know what happened there, but business has been down. Creative has been down. Buzz has been down.
They lost a lot of talent too.
They did. And obviously Forbidden Door still draws, but like next year, you got to look at the schedule and think of maybe a different cadence, and also where New Japan is at. I saw some people say like, oh my gosh, well, it's AEW's fault that New Japan is doing this. AEW did not force New Japan to not be competitive with salaries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose talent, be competitive with salaries. If WWE or AEW don't want to lose talent, be competitive with salaries and booking. That's where I am there. Recently diagnosed with ADHD, Sean, any advice? Find out what you can hyper-focus on and definitely lean into that. That has helped me a lot in my career, but like socially it can affect me. I do not take medication and haven't regularly since I was in high school, but I'm actually planning on looking into that now. But just whatever they prescribe you isn't always the best option. I'll say that.
I've done a lot of research into it for my kid, because my kid's 8 and he has it too. And it's different when you're a kid versus an adult. You know, like they want to prescribe like Adderall, Ritalin. Like, I'm not giving that stuff to an 8-year-old kid.
I was on Ritalin when I was younger, and yeah, it greatly affected me. Like,
yep.
And I mean, like it when I graduated high school, I was tiny, man. Like, I am, yep. When I started high school, I was like 4'10", 4'11", yep, maybe 75, 80 pounds.
I've heard about that.
High school senior, I was probably 5'7" and 115. And then like,
you went off of it.
It's not normal to grow from 5'7" to over 6 feet after you're out of high school. Right? Like, it's, so I contribute that to when I was on Ritalin and then when I wasn't.
Yep. Yeah. And my son's got a couple of friends who they medicate, the parents medicate, but on the weekend they take them off. And on the weekend when they take them off,
so we did.
We've had play dates. They're chaotic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because their bodies are like, what, they're just going nuts. We had a kid that came over. He was taking plants out of the pots because he was
kind of awesome. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Maybe awesome for him, not for us. You know,
sounds great.
But yeah, for a kid, I definitely would not medicate if you can get away with it.
What's most creatively exciting in wrestling today? Well, now Naomi is not an option. And I thought that she was.
Creatively, let's think about this.
I honestly, I would still say the Raw women's division. They have done a pretty good job of getting a lot of people on that show. Like in recent months, I had said, where's Ivy Nile? Where's Natalya? Where's Maxine? Fill out what we're seeing here. And they've started to utilize some of those talent. From a creative standpoint,
I mean, I kind of like the Dom stuff with AAA because Dom's entertaining to me. So I kind of like
I want to see the genesis of Dominic Mysterio. That's the most interesting thing. I wouldn't say everything else surrounding it. Right now, there's nothing that jumps out at me like, oh my God, I am so captivated by this. And I think that they need something. Toni Storm is always fantastic, but JT says, any word on NXT call-ups? What's up with Julia's booking? Well, they don't care about the women's U.S. title is what's up with their booking. Mm. And that's just been the thing always. Do you think Asuka turns on Kyrie? I hope not, because they need tag teams very badly.
I mean, they're kind of hinting at her and Io and you know, her and Rhea. I mean, they're definitely teasing an Asuka turn, but I don't know about so much on Kyrie. If anything, Kyrie would go with her, I think.
Any word on NXT call-ups? They'll be sporadic, like, throughout the year. From what I understood, it's not. It had always been hinted to me that it's not going to be like six at a time, like it used to be. That could always change, though. Will there be more than five matches on Clash? I could see six happening. We've got a few more. Crashing Tonight says, you heard anything about signings from SummerSlam tryouts? No, and I don't think that they have either. But I'll check in on that. I'll put that in my notes.
Was Bron Breakker's brother part of that group, or was he an earlier group?
He's just in a NIL.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't part of the tryouts. Yeah. Okay.
No, this one had like LJ Cleary, who is Lyra Valkyria's boyfriend, had big trouble with Ben Bishop, who I think they should bring in. He'd be great in NXT.
Yeah, I agree.
Ibu Mania says, who's WWE going to raid from CMLL after AEW Forbidden Door? I know there was previous reports about Mascara Dorada, Persephone, and La Catalina. Well, I mean, La Catalina, if they don't have her nailed down to a contract, they should, because clearly WWE has always had interest in her. She worked there for years. She was on Raw for a while. She's like 19 and was on Raw. And they also fired her at a very rough spot. Persephone looks like an NXT talent. So I would imagine that after this weekend, if she's not nailed down to a contract, WWE will reach out. Mascara Dorada, I think that he'll probably, I think he's going to have a deal with AEW CMLL, I think. Dave Koss says, I'm like you, stop caring about the brand split since they don't seem to. Do you think them moving Sammy to SmackDown on TV and Knight to Raw off camera is just a new way to supplement a traditional draft? So everybody keeps asking about a draft. I have not heard anything about it. Over the last year, I've just heard people say, oh, yeah, there is going to be one. There isn't going to be one, all that. I haven't heard anybody talk about a draft. But, Jimmy, to me, it is very lazy if they don't just say, have Nick Aldis on the phone and say, yeah, glad that we could work out this trade, LA Knight for Sami Zayn.
Right, right.
I just say it.
Right.
But
they just show up.
I used to get so upset over the brand split thing. And now I'm just like, I can't care about it because it's clear they don't care about it.
Yep. I remember years ago. It's frustrating
because my apathy is not shared. I want them to abide by it. That way it matters more.
Yeah.
But like WWE is doing working partnerships with TNA and AAA as well because they own it. So I will say this. It is hard to make the leap of, yeah, well, we'll work with AAA and we'll work with TNA, but Raw and SmackDown aren't going to work together at all. So I do, I'm more okay with the synergy there as a result of where things stand.
I remember years ago, I believe Jericho might have been on the SmackDown brand. And I think Mark Henry might have been the world champion on Raw, I think. And they did a match on Raw where Jericho got a title shot. And he was a SmackDown wrestler. That was the moment I stopped caring about the brand split. And that must have been a decade ago. Easy. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a predetermined television show, right? So yep. They can do what they want. The wrestlers are probably there anyway, depending on they're working 1 or 2 days a week now, depending on where the show is located. So I don't take it seriously.
Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We're heading to the end of this show. A reminder, I will be here on Sunday afternoon for Forbidden Door. Vic says, is now the right time to crown Stephanie Vecchier or put the title back on Io to feud with a heel Asuka? I think the safe thing is Io, Jimmy, because she's massively over.
I don't think they're going to have Stephanie lose.
Okay.
I don't think.
Why is that? They barely had her on the damn show to begin with.
Yeah, lately. That's true. But I don't know, just the way they present her, like they present her like this kind of special. I just don't see her losing. And it's not that losing would necessarily be a bad thing. I mean, Jade lost to Tiffany. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's not like Jade is all of a sudden going to be fodder at the bottom of the card. Like she's going to get her opportunity. But I just feel they look at Stephanie a certain way. You know, she's this international talent. They look at her a certain way. So I think she's gonna get the title.
I would prefer them to put Stephanie in that spot. WWE, a lot of times, they don't do the build and the chase that well. They crown somebody very, very quickly, and it's like, now what? But also, I do think there's something to be said about somebody like Stephanie immediately being treated like a big deal. Right. I think that is also very important.
Yeah, she has been.
And Dave says, I think they push Stephanie to that September show so they can not rush the opponent and maybe do attorney and keep loading the 9/20 show. Yeah, they still got some time and it does seem abrupt, but Io was supposed to have a title match. That was supposed to be the thing. So it would make sense for them to face each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think they're going to do something on Raw, like a qualifier or something, because that's just what WWE does. I don't see them just saying, okay, it's Io Stephanie. I just don't see them doing it. But well, it'd be interesting.
Hopefully they don't do a battle royal because that's how Stephanie won it.
Right. Yeah. They don't have really enough roles in Raw anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've been doing a good job supplementing the Intercontinental division as well and highlighting that stuff. Guys, head over to FightfulSelect.com. It's $5.99 a month. Here's what you get every day at FightfulSelect.com. Exclusive news. Discord access where I do question and answers and just the smartest conversation in wrestling over at FightfulSelect.com in the Discord every day. Q&A articles, I mean daily. That's at minimum $5.99 a month. We also have Ask Grapsody every other week. I do a Q&A show every week. Alex does at least 2 Sour Graps shows every week. And then you might say, hey Sean, why don't you all have coverage of the indies? Well, we do. Steven Jensen does that every single week. Jimmy, I'm just excited to read this. Jimmy is such a WWE mark and will never let you take a shot without him bringing AEW into it.
When did I take a shot at AEW? That's nice. I want to talk about one more thing before we're off the air.
Okay.
Why are you posting that again? Is that like an alias of your account or something, Sean?
I don't know. I just want to make sure everybody sees it.
Okay. That's nice. One more thing I want to talk about because I've seen a lot of discourse about this. I've seen a lot of discourse about this online. And Bully
Ray. How much AEW sucks?
Yeah, about how much AEW sucks. Yeah. Yeah. They're going out of business. They're not making money. They're not profitable. Yeah. So, I've seen a lot of discourse online about Vince McMahon, and Bully Ray didn't help with Busted Open Radio. So I want to just talk about this and then be done with it. So when Brock Lesnar came back at SummerSlam, I saw a lot of people on social media say, Vince McMahon's definitely coming back. He's definitely coming back. Then Vince shows up at Hulk Hogan's funeral. He's interviewed for the TMZ special. And then Bully Ray on Busted Open Radio says Vince needs to be at John Cena's last match in December. And so that's created all this, added all this fuel to the idea that Vince McMahon is going to, you know, come back to WWE. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why it's not going to happen. So the Janelle Grant lawsuit, Vince McMahon's the key defendant. There's another defendant in that lawsuit, and that defendant is WWE. WWE has legal representation that's different, separate from Vince McMahon. I don't know what WWE strategy is, Sean, because I haven't read enough about it, but I imagine that they probably want to distance themselves from Vince, similar to how John Laurinaitis did, right? Because he did it in order to kind of save his own ass. I imagine WWE is going to do the same thing. There's no benefit to WWE associating with Vince McMahon in any capacity. There's no benefit. Can you imagine the optics, Sean?
The majority do not want to see Vince McMahon.
Well, that too, but just like from a legal perspective, can you imagine the optics? Can you imagine how Janelle Grant's attorneys would be salivating?
Of course.
If there's Vince McMahon on Raw, it's not going to happen. And so all of the people that are saying, oh, Vince is definitely coming back, it's not going to happen. And this is the reason it's not going to happen. And so it doesn't matter that Brock came back. It doesn't matter that Vince did the interview for TMZ. It's not going to happen. And as a matter of fact, I told you that I knew people that went to Hogan's funeral, and a lot of people that were there have since done interviews talking about it, like Jim Duggan and Brian Blair and a bunch of people. They all backed up exactly what I was told. Vince McMahon did not associate with anybody at the funeral, which is why my friend said that him speaking was a surprise. He didn't associate with anybody. He showed up on the stage, he spoke for a couple minutes, and poof, he was gone. WWE people do not want to associate with him publicly. They don't. And it's because they understand what the optics would look like. He's not going to come back so long as this case is going on. It's not going to happen. So,
and I think that a lot of people, they look at, first off, when he retired and WWE reps were straight up like, it's real, he's done. And then when, do you remember when I reported that he was silently working in creative and all the harassment I got from that?
Right, yes.
And then it was revealed, oh no, he actually was. WWE was trying to deny it, but I think it was even over their head at that point. But he bull rushed his way back into the company to force an acquisition. I think a lot of people looked at that and they said, okay, well, that's we've fallen for it twice. We're not going to fall for it again. This man, this one is like they have eradicated him from the company.
And it's just a different situation. Like, it's different ownership. Ari Emanuel and Mark Shapiro and Nick Khan, with this case going on, where they are a defendant in this lawsuit, which is potentially a multi-million dollar lawsuit, they don't want to associate with him. Like, I even see people in the live chat saying, oh, he's definitely coming. He's not. It's not going to happen. And you just have to look at it from the legal perspective. It's not going to happen. And that's it.
Yeah. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in.
We had some interesting moments today, Sean.
We did.
You know, Sean's getting his period and he's like freaking out over a mask, and interesting one. I'm going to look for it. I will have it here.
We're not talking like it's just a mask.
It's a mask.
It is a very expensive replica of my head.
You know, I had to get that made in Italy. Did you know that?
I know you had to. First off, I don't even want to. I don't know if the public should see some of the early versions of the head.
I don't know if I still have. Do you? Do you still have the mock-ups?
I've still got them somewhere. I found folders of a lot of like art. People used to like draw. People used to like us, Jimmy. Like, they used to draw art and stuff.
Yes. Yes, it's true. I remember Rob Wilkins sent in his version of our theme song once that he sang. Do you remember
Rob
that?
Rob did?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I don't remember that.
Yes. I don't know if he's in the live chat or if he watches the show. He sent in, because we, one day, people used to put over our old theme song, Stupid People, I think it was. They used to put over Stupid People. So he created his own version of it. And I believe we might have aired it. I can't remember.
Upon a time, you launched an entire website based on your love of the Stupid People segment.
I did. And we got hammered by fakeness. Fake
really?
Video. Yeah. So basically the reason that I shut Know Your News down was you can go on Twitter any day of the week and every video you see is either staged or AI.
Hate it.
Yeah. How do you possibly try to show people real stuff when they believe the fake stuff? People think the fake stuff is real. So there's just, you know what I saw the other day, Sean? I saw AI video of a cat that brought animals to its sleeping owner at night. And there's supposedly surveillance video. The cat's bringing live snakes, live whatever, dropping it on the bed. And all the comments are like, oh, I wonder what the owner's going to do. It was AI, people. They believe this shit. Like, this is where we're at. They believe it.
Oh, my God. I mean, listen, on Facebook. So, hey, guys, do me a solid. Go follow me on Facebook, Sean Ross Sapp. I'm putting a bunch of, like, news and cool memes and posts and stuff up there. The AI slop.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Oh, see, I'm not on Facebook, but Twitter is loaded with it, man.
Oh, it's as bad as it is on Twitter. It is 100 times worse.
Is it?
On Facebook.
Okay.
It's
bad. Taken over. It's taken over. And people don't know the difference. They believe what they're seeing.
It's so bad. Like, on any given day, you'll see my Sean Ross Sapp Facebook be like, what are these dumbass Facebook pages doing? Because, like, you would be shocked at the way that news gets spread on Facebook. Like, it's a thing where I looked at and I go, is it even worth it to try? And I'm like, okay, well, listen, news is always evolving and I never want to be the guy that's, like, not with wherever the news is. That's why I'm like, hey, Kate, let's do some more TikToks. I'm on Facebook. That's why we're doing a lot of these different streaming platforms, because I want to make sure that Fightful at least has the opportunity to control some of the misinformation that is out there, or at least make the effort and all that stuff.
And but, the parody accounts on Twitter, for wrestling news, but even for other news, where their name is almost identical to a real one, but they just add an extra letter. People believe
there's a funny
that
one
too.
Though. There's one funny one. And it's Wrestle Oops.
I've seen that
Wrestle
one.
Oops is hilarious. I got to be serious. There are no other Facebook or Twitter parody wrestling pages I've seen that are entertaining. Besides Kayfabe News. Kayfabe News is always good. They're the OGs. Wrestle Oops is hilarious.
Right. But a lot of them, people believe what they post. They think it's real. You know?
I know.
Real news.
I've had wrestlers. Saw, like,
is it NBA Centel? NBA Centel, I think. And people NBA believe Centel's
a little bit different. It's NBA Centel is a little bit more widely accepted within the industry.
But people believe it. I see the comments sometimes, you know?
Some of the stuff, like, I think that if you're doing that, it needs to be, first off, don't undermine the people that are actually doing work and all that stuff. Make it a little bit more good-hearted.
Yes, and obvious. Like the Onion.
Yes. Yes.
Because then it is funny. Agree. If you make it obvious like the Onion, then it is funny. I agree.
Look at us, Jimmy, going 90 minutes again.
Yeah. What was the one that there used to be one that would have video clips from botches on wrestling television?
Oh, Botchamania. That's
Botchamania.
And again, that was a very like that was a thing that wrestlers loved. Like they always kind of liked that.
Right. Right. I used to check it out from time to time.
I'll tell you a parody account that I want to do a story on, Jimmy. Do you remember the Cranky Vince Twitter account?
Not really. Maybe if I saw the picture.
I want to say over a decade ago, there was an account called Cranky Vince, and it typed in all caps, and it would say things that were very, very unusual, but also oddly accurate. To the point to where wrestlers were like, this is a member of the roster or it is a member of the creative team. And JBL got accused of being it at one point.
I can see that.
But I'm going to do a feature on that. That'll be my my next long form feature. I'm going to ask a lot of people about Cranky Vince and if they know who it is.
Right. Okay. Awesome. I could go for another half an hour, but I'm getting knocks at the door now, so that's my cue.
There we go. Yeah. Tell that kid of yours.
Especially because you're holding up your finger like this. Tell that kid of yours.
Tell that kid of yours. I want my head back. I'm sick of this shit.
I will. I'll get a new video done, and I will post it on Twitter, Sean.
And that's that. Till next time, we're out.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.